there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
And Jeff, I see you're not, we're going to do the same joke I think we do every year. Jeff, we're not wearing green. Ooh, ah, ooh, ow. Stop pitching. Ooh,
oh,
ah,
ooh. God. The pain.
But also, you've been gallivanting around, yelling about these people stealing stuff from you.
My gold, Jay, has been stolen. You know what? You might have actually seen a documentary about my life, Jay, which was me as a 600-year-old man being viciously mugged and robbed of my rightful gold, and then a group of possibly teenagers, possibly people who are in their mid to late 40s.
So shocked my microphone fell.
It's hard to tell. Withheld my gold from me, and then were surprised when they reap the consequences of such an action.
Well, Jeff, I have in fact seen that movie. That's the movie we're going to be talking about today. Let's, I don't know,
dance a jig into the Leprechaun.
Leprechaun, released January 8th, 1993. Always a sign of faith when the studio puts your movie out in January. And you know what? Fuck those execs, because this movie rules.
They didn't have any idea what they had on their hands. And I think, judging by the fact that you can buy an 8-film Leprechaun collection, that should be proof enough of that.
Yep.
This is arguably not even close to the best one. This is a rare example of a horror movie franchise that gets better as it goes along.
And then gets worse.
Well, yeah. The original
when they start rebooting stuff.
I was going to say, the original run up to Back to the Hood, that's some solid film right there, Jay.
Written and directed by Mark Jones, who also wrote and directed Rumpelstiltskin. So he loved doing movies about weird little guys.
Yes. Yes, originally more fairy tale inspired than it ended up being, but you know.
Warwick Davis plays our titular leprechaun, and will be in 5 more of these movies.
And they cast him because of his stunt-heavy performance as Wicket in Return of the Jedi.
Hells yeah.
And that is a fact that does not get enough praise in these movies. Warwick Davis does the vast majority of his own stunts in these.
And wasn't like 16 when he was cast as Wicket?
Yes.
Like, very nuts. Young. I said while watching this, I was like, you know, man, like, you know, something to the effect of like, I can't believe like Warwick Davis was doing this for so long. And my wife went, how old do you think Warwick Davis is? And I'm like, I don't know, like 70, 80. He was, you know, he was in Return of the Jedi. No, he was 16.
Yeah.
Like, that was, I think, his first thing. Dude's like 56.
I mean, he had that. I mean, he had assault. Basically, he proved not only did he have the physicality to do the stunt work that they needed, with Willow, he proved his like actual acting ability.
I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce this right. Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah, I think that's right, Jay.
Aniston? I don't know. She plays Tori. I've never heard of this actress. Know nothing about her.
You know, I thought she looked familiar for a second, Jay, but then when I got a good look at her, I was like, no way, that's anybody I know.
Yeah.
Not with that nose.
Yeah, not with that nose. That's a great nose. The person I would think closest to that, her nose looks very plain by comparison.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, there's that Jennifer Aniston lady who got famous from Friends, I think it was. But yeah, her nose looks like trash compared to this lady. So,
Ken Olant plays Nathan, and we will see him, or we saw him last as Rob in April Fools.
God. You know what? If you need a guy to be the on-screen tough guy, I can't think of a better choice.
Mark Holton plays star of the movie Ozzy. And we will see him again in Leprechaun Returns.
I wish I knew how old he was supposed to be, Jay. That is a mystery that I need solved.
So Ozzy, like, in like descriptions, it's like, you know, dim-witted or like slow. So it's like, okay, so like Ozzy's like the special needs friend. Except you watch it, it's like, he's just kind of dumb. Yeah. He's just kind of a dumb guy, but everyone else treats him like, oh, there goes the guy with special needs.
I don't think anything he does in this movie really reaches that level. It's like, yeah, he's pretty much just like a dumb guy.
Yeah, he occasionally says dumb stuff like that. That's kind of, but everyone acts like he's the stupidest person they've ever met.
I mean, we've got experience with that.
Yeah, we're two dumb guys. We're a
couple of dumb guys.
Dumb guys recognize fellow dumb guys,
and a couple of fatsos, as the leprechaun calls out cruelly.
Robert Gorman is Alex. Shay Duffin is Mr. O'Grady, and Pamela Grout is Mrs. O'Grady.
God, talk about, you know, that intro is like straight out of Tales from the Crypt, and I love it.
It feels like a Tales from the Crypt or a Twilight Zone or like a Tales from the Dark Side. John Sandiford is JD, Tori's dad. Tagline, her luck just ran out.
Like it.
Pretty good. Budget of $900,000, a box office of $8.5 million.
That's a hit.
Hit by any way you slice it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a hit, which is even more because January is the worst month to release a movie. It still did that well.
Yep. Like, that is nuts. That is nuts to me.
And not even close to St. Patrick's Day.
Where to watch? Currently streaming. I think it's free a couple places.
Peacock is a good place if you want to see it free. But honestly, just buy the collection.
Yep. I think I got this collection here for like $10 or something at Walmart.
I picked up the HD version of it on Fandango when they were doing their movie sale for the criminally low price of $8.
Oh, that's amazing. Personal experience. I think I've seen this one before. I know you've seen all of them.
A lot of people. I mean, if you were watching movies in the 90s, you probably rented this or somebody rented this from Blockbuster at some point and you watched it. Or you saw it as a rerun on TV. I know it used to play on the Sci-Fi Channel.
I was going to say, a lot of people, I think, probably saw this on Sci-Fi Channel.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of people. See, this is the thing is, a lot of people have seen this movie and they like this movie, but they've never gone any further into the franchise. And I could say, this is like, I would say, the baseline of a Leprechaun movie. There are at least three Leprechaun movies that are better than this one. When they're not the ones you think.
Space, Hood, and Back to the Hood.
Yes. No, Space and Hood, definitely. They're better than this movie in pretty much every way.
Filmed in California, I think I saw.
Yes, filmed entirely in California, although they did do a decent job of making it seem like a more like rural Midwestern type setting. Yeah.
I don't have anything else, so unless you got any extra little tidbits, I'm ready to synopsize.
I got some stuff. So, of course, we talked about Warwick Davis. So a rare studio interference that I think helped the final product and helped shape this into what it was. So originally they intended for it to be a dark kind of fairy tale slasher movie, and the studio was like, you know, and this is before Scream did all this meta commentary, a studio executive came to the set and saw some of the like rough cut shots and stuff they were doing, and saw like an early edit of like the first two thirds of the movie, and he was like, nobody's gonna like this. This is the same shit everybody else has been doing. He's like, slashers are getting tired. Nobody cares about him anymore. All the big franchises are running out of gas. What we need to do is make this comedic. So I need you to go back and reshoot this for the more comedic tone.
And it worked for Chucky. Like, yeah. I think you know, you could potentially say maybe the first three Chucky movies are a little more serious.
A little more serious, yeah.
But, like, it worked for Chucky. Certainly worked for one of your and my favorite movies, Jack Frost. Yes. Like, another little guy who's also a slasher.
Yes.
I as I was thinking about it, I'm like, there's three distinct categories. You've got your slasher, and whether it's, you know, your silent slasher or your trash talking slasher, you got your slasher. Then you got your little guys. Mm-hmm. So like your gremlins, your ghoulies, your critters, and then you got your meeting of the two. You got your little guy slashers. So you got your Chuckies, your leprechauns, your Rumpelstiltskins, your Jack Frosts.
He's almost a triple threat. He's a little guy, he's a slasher, and he's a trash talker.
Yep. Like, Chucky had the trash talk, but, like, I think it got more, certainly got more comedic when you got, like, Bride of Chucky and Seed of
yes,
Chucky.
It, Chucky, yes, definitely gets way more comedic as it goes along.
Like, I the first movie, not at all. I think you're seeing it more in two, and we're not here to talk about Chucky. We're
talking about our guys.
We'll do that later. We're talking about these little guys.
But, I mean, the Irish folklore angle, too, was added in by the studio more, because originally, apparently, the only Irish element of it was he's a leprechaun with cursed gold that goes around and kills people with the gold. There wasn't any of, like, the four-leaf clover stuff or any of, like, foundational things for the franchise. We're at it. So, a rare good studio interference. Doesn't happen very often.
No, not at all.
Every once in a while, somebody at the studio actually knows what's going on. And, of course, the producers basically had no faith in it, as we said, and decided to dump it in January, where it did incredibly well, especially in $93, $8.5 million on a $900,000 budget is like an out-of-the-park hit.
Yep.
I did a conversion. That would be the equivalent of spending about $2 million on a movie today and having it make 50.
That would be yeah. a hit today.
Yeah. But, I mean, other than that, we talked a little bit about it was mostly filmed outside Santa Clarita, California. They actually built the interior sets for the house, which I thought was nice, instead of just trying to film in a random place they found. Because they're like, we got to do some trapdoors, like, especially like the cabinet scene and stuff like that. They
right.
have tunnels and trapdoors for Warwick Davis to move through.
Well, we've got to have this basement covered in spider webs and tarantulas.
2 to 3 hours to apply the makeup to Warwick Davis, and then he did 10 plus hour shooting days because they needed to keep the budget low, and so they're like, all right, well, we got to shoot long shoots then, which normally what a movie with a higher production budget would do would shoot Warwick Davis in shorter sessions, so, you know, it wasn't as grueling.
Right.
But no, he's like, no, I could take it. So yet again, proving he's a trooper. And of course, we have some great practical effects in this. We'll talk about the kills later, but one of the things that was an incredibly intricate behind-the-scenes operation was the pogo stick kill.
Oh, excellent.
Putting that together.
One of my favorites.
So we could talk about that a little bit.
It might be my favorite in the whole movie.
But it would involve some very close timing, we'll say, that almost ended in disaster.
Oh, you ready? You're ready to dive in?
Let's dive in.
All right. We see our leprechaun walking down some steps into like a cave and looking at his gold, me gold.
Yes.
As he says, try as they will and try as they might. Who steals me gold won't live through the night.
Yes. Yes.
Cut immediately to this poppy song that goes, won't you be my four-leaf clover?
Yeah, when that's on the radio in the background at the diner, I was like, yes. Yes.
It's no Warm Side of the Door, but it's pretty good.
I mean, nothing is Warm Side of the Door.
Oh, no, that doesn't. Sorry, four-leaf clover doesn't come until a little bit later. Sorry.
We got our cold open.
Yeah, opening credits, title card, roll over Mr. O'Grady arriving home to his farmstead in a limo. He chugs the last of a bottle of Jameson and throws it on the ground and tells his wife that they're rich now. Mrs. O'Grady is confused because he was supposed to be in Ireland burying his mother's ashes, but he brought an urn back with him. He then smashes it.
God, I love her horrified look when he smashes the urn on the porch
and reveals a bag of gold.
Me gold.
He caught a leprechaun and made him tell him where his gold is. Inside, Mrs. O'Grady is making tea and she hears a child singing Mary Had a Little Lamb from inside one of Mr. O'Grady's suitcases.
Very creepily, by the way.
She unlocks it and out steps the leprechaun. Crowd goes wild.
Oh my God.
He tells Mrs. O'Grady he wants his gold and runs towards her, and she falls backwards down a flight of stairs into the basement, snapping her neck.
Also, a little bit of foreshadowing of the leprechaun's ability to mimic voices, which will come in handy later.
Mr. O'Grady comes back in, saying he hid the gold, and using Mrs. O'Grady's voice, the leprechaun asks where he hid it, and then walks out carrying the tea that Mrs. O'Grady was making.
I want to just say, when he knocks her down the stairs, and she's running backwards or whatever, and he stops, and he's like, oh, well. Is that tea I smell?
And then later on he goes, I told her to watch her step.
Yep.
Mr. O'Grady runs and grabs a gun and a four-leaf clover, which frightens the leprechaun, who runs off. Mr. O'Grady chases him to the basement, and the leprechaun taunts him with the corpse of his wife.
Oh, my God.
Mr. O'Grady shoots the leprechaun.
Your bullets won't stop me forever, O'Grady. Yep,
and he says, I'll keep coming back. And Mr. O'Grady seals him in a crate and puts the clover on top of it, sealing the leprechaun inside. Who provides commentary the whole time that, yes, like, Mr. O'Grady's dumping gasoline and hauling his wife upstairs.
Don't have a heart attack now.
And then says he curses him, and Mr. O'Grady is about to strikes a match and is about to throw it down the stairs, but he keels over and dies, or has a heart attack.
Has a stroke, apparently. Yeah, find out later.
Before he can set the leprechaun on fire.
Oh, boy.
Music swells, and we see the crate rocking back and forth slowly as the camera pans out. Cut to, won't you be my four-leaf clover? 10 years later, Tori is complaining to her dad, JD, that she has to spend the summer in New Mexico, and her dad corrects her, North Dakota, and she says, like it matters, it's not L.A.
Yep.
Which tells you everything you need to know about Tori.
Also, would make more sense if it was New Mexico because of the tarantula in the basement instead of North Dakota. But whatever.
JD shows Tori the house they will be staying in, and it's the abandoned O'Grady place.
I got a great deal.
The basement is full of cobwebs and tarantulas, and Tori storms out saying, staying here is worse than summer camp, and she immediately runs into Nathan, who she immediately insults, but when she realizes he's a hot guy, she starts flirting with him.
Changes her tone real quick.
Oh, the 90s.
Oh, boy. And the... That was also her getting indignantly upset about his comment, too, about her being afraid of the house and spiders or whatever. I was like, you were literally just afraid of the spider.
JD is ready to leave, but because Nathan is hot, Tori decides she wants to stay.
Like we're hanging around.
We are then introduced to Alex, Dennis the Menace style kid, and Ozzy, who talks about seeing a UFO.
Can we just talk for a second about their truck, Jay? Three guys that paint.
Three guys that paint. And it's like, oh, it's like Saved by the Bell, like font.
Yes. And also, this is where we get later on. Nathan is going to make a comment about them being late to the diner or whatever. And he's like, ah, they're just kids. How old is Ozzy supposed to be? He looks like a mid 40s man.
They're just kids. Probably stopped to get Ozzy a comic book.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're there doing the painting of the house.
Three guys who paint, Jay. What else would they be doing?
Alex is generally kind of mean to Ozzy. And yeah.
Yeah, some good. There's some good natured back and forth. But yeah, at some points he does make some seemingly needlessly mean comments. But almost everybody does.
Yep. Tori goes down to the basement with drinks looking for Nathan, who surprises her. She sees the old crate, and Nathan talks about how O'Grady was a weird guy who collected weird stuff. They're about ready to open the crate when Ozzy screams, and I had a question. What if the entire movie was building up to somebody getting ready to open this crate, but then they never do? We just get 90 minutes of like increasingly like insane reasons to not open the crate.
That would be, see, Jay, that ties into another idea I've had, is to make a multi-part movie series where people are putting together a crew for a heist and then the heist never happens. It's just all the build-up part.
Turns out Alex caused Ozzy to spill paint all over himself, and everyone but Ozzy thinks this is hilarious, and rightfully so. After cleaning himself up, Ozzy hears a child singing in the basement. I think it's Ring Around the Rosie.
Yes, it is.
He goes down to investigate and brushes away the dried up floor leaf clover.
Damn.
And out of the crate pops the leprechaun, who offers to shine Ozzy's shoes, but first he needs me gold.
Yeah, the little piccolo melody that whenever the leprechaun appears is great.
Ozzy runs outside and everyone dismisses that he saw a leprechaun. They all go to the basement and there's no leprechaun because he's hiding. But Ozzy, it was just a rat.
You really did a number on that crate, Ozzy, where it's clearly burst from the inside.
and then they're hearing all this like banging and stuff. Oh, it's just this little rat. And it's like, there's no way that rats and leprechauns are the same. Ozzy, you just saw a rat. There's no way they're the same size.
There's no way a rat would be making that much noise moving around in there either.
Ozzy then sees a rainbow and people brush it off, but Ozzy knows it's a sign. He leads Alex to the end of the rainbow that ends at an old broken down truck, and inside Ozzy finds a single gold coin that Alex immediately takes from him.
Yes.
And then Alex gives it back because he found the whole bag of gold. Ozzy, in trying to figure out if the gold is real, bites the gold, but swallows it instead.
Still don't understand that, but okay.
And Alex is like, why would you do that? And he's like, I've seen it done in movies, which I think is hilarious because this is a movie.
Yes.
Alex takes one coin to take to town to get checked out.
Hide the rest.
And they're going to hide the rest in the old well. Also, Alex wants to use the gold to get Ozzy an operation to fix his brain.
Also, I want to note here, yet again, he's referencing Ozzy as a fellow kid. Because he's like, you know how adults are with money, Ozzy. Like, he's 45 years old. He's balding.
And he wants to fix his brain and make him smart. And Ozzy's like, but I am smart. Which he is. He's clearly smart.
He's not like amazingly smart, but he's also like average intelligence, it seems like.
And then Alex is like, yeah, but then people won't make fun of you. And Ozzy's generally hurt, like, wait, people are making fun of me? And Alex is like, yeah, but it's only behind your back. And it's like, Ozzy just needs better friends.
Again, needlessly cruel thing to say. Also, Ozzy being self-conscious enough to understand that people making fun of him is a bad thing proves that he's just a normal guy.
Yep. Back at the house, Tori and Nathan are painting. Tori goes to get more paint and feels something touching her leg. She thinks it's Nathan, but it's actually the leprechaun. They then hear a cat mewing and they're like, oh, it was just a cat. Yeah, and JD goes to like stick his hand into a trunk to get the trunk of a tree to get
kitty,
the cat
kitty,
out.
Kitty.
And then immediately gets bit.
Way too, like, big of a bite for any cat, by the way.
The gnarliest bite you've ever seen. And he like pulls his hand away, and in the other side of the tree you see the leprechaun standing there. And then they all pile into the three guys that paint truck and take JD to the hospital.
But first, we get some crucial backstory of the distributor cap being faulty, Jay.
Oh, yeah.
Come into play later. But also, so when she thinks it's Nathan rubbing her leg, she's totally into it. And then she's like, I thought it was you. And he's like, and you were letting me?
And then there's also the, like, I know when a man's touching my leg. And
you do?
Goes, you do?
But no, that's... We know what she's been up to in L.A., Jay.
The leprechaun. So they drive away in their truck, and then we see, like, the leprechaun run off screen, He rides back by on a little tricycle.
Yes.
And he follows them into town on his trike.
He does indeed, Jay. He does indeed.
They arrive at the ER, and everyone just splits up. JD has to go to the doctor by himself. As Tori and Nathan go to the diner to get food.
Oh, come on, Jay.
And it's Alex and Ozzy go to get check out the coin.
It's just a cat bite, Jay. Don't take it so seriously. It's a man-sized cat bit my hand, and it looks like it's going to fall off. It's fine.
And this is the last we'll see of JD.
Well, he's got to have his medical care, Jay. We don't have time to be checking out on every little thing.
I thought at least he would come back at the end of the movie, like when the cops show up. Like, you'd get like JD, like, in what, like, oh, honey, I'm glad you're safe. No, none of that. Just,
we don't need any of that. This is the leprechaun. And you know what I appreciate about this? It does not waste any time into getting into the leprechaun stuff.
They arrive at Joe's coin just as the leprechaun does on his tricycle, ringing the little bell. Joe tells Alex and Ozzy he's going to need to research the coin overnight and is going to put it in his safe. They leave, and Joe begins to research. When he keeps hearing the trike bell ringing, he unlocks the safe just for the leprechaun to jump out of the safe. He bites Joe's leg and takes back his coin. And as Joe is writhing on the ground in agony, the leprechaun grabs a pogo stick and starts bouncing on Joe, basically turning his body into ground beef.
Don't forget, he also says, not nice to steal me coins. Bad shopkeeper. Bad.
And then after Joe is dead, he shines Joe's corpse's shoes.
Oh, if you want something to break your spirit, Jay, he's like, yeah, this coin, they're 1 ounce coins. And he's like, yeah, this would be worth about $500, but that's not counting the historical value or whatever. One of those coins today, if you want to know how much inflation has destroyed your life, would be worth about $5,500.
Oh, my God.
And this was only 1993.
Oh, my God. Well,
that's a spirit breaker.
Instead of taking the trike back, the leprechaun sees like a little go-kart and takes that instead.
Upgrade, obviously. The luck of the Irish.
Tori and Nate are in the diner flirting, and Ozzy and Alex eventually show up. Meanwhile, the leprechaun gets pulled over by like a highway patrolman in his go-kart. The officer is like, aren't you a little young to be out this late? And the leprechaun's like, I'm 600 years old.
Indeed. And then he bites his ass. Yeah. That's what the leprechaun does.
The officer tries to like intimidate him, and the leprechaun like claws at his face a bunch. The officer then runs off through the forest and hides, and the leprechaun pops out and goes, oh, we're playing hide and seek. And he starts like jumping out behind different trees, like teleporting. And the officer runs off again and thinks he's like, and like falls down by a tree and thinks he's safe, catches his breath. And then the leprechaun jumps down onto his shoulders and snaps his neck.
Excellent. Highlighting the super strength of the leprechaun, by the way.
Leprechaun arrives back at the O'Grady house looking for me gold, and finds a box of Lucky Charms, and he eats a handful of. He also finds all the shoes in the house and polishes all of them and like lays them out on the table.
Of course, gotta have that Irish folklore.
Everyone except JD arrives back at the house, finding it in disarray, and Ozzy says...
A bear got in here.
he's thinking a bear got in there. They all set to work cleaning up the house.
Very funny line from Nathan, by the way. Tan's heard the broom, and he's like, you know how to work this thing?
Tori and Nathan then hear the bell ringing, but it's just Ozzy, and then, like, time goes by, and they keep hearing the bell ringing, and... it's not Ozzy now, and Nathan goes outside to investigate and trips and lands in a bear trap. The leprechaun pops out and is going to chop off Nathan's leg with an axe, but Nathan's able to like fight him off one-handed, takes the axe, and then Ozzy and like Tori run out and also start attacking him. And like I think at one point like Tori or Ozzy has like a boulder and is gonna like pretends to like bash him in the head with it. Ozzy calls the cops, who don't believe him that a leprechaun is attacking the house. Meanwhile, Alex gets the shotgun and Nathan shoots the leprechaun, who falls over bleeding like green goo.
Yes, the green goo.
Tori separates the jaws of the bear trap so Nathan can get out. And Nathan tries, fires a bunch of shots where the leprechaun was, but the leprechaun is gone.
Too crafty.
In the house, the phone is dead, and they're able to patch up Nathan's leg, and then they are to head to the truck to take Nathan into town. But wouldn't you know it, truck won't start. Distributor caps.
Damn.
Not working. Alex goes out to go fix it, and the leprechaun is in the engine compartment chewing on the wires.
Yes.
The leprechaun then breaks through the windshield, bites off like part of Ozzy's ear, which I think he said he was going to do at the beginning of the movie.
He's going to turn his ear into a boot.
and then Tori burns Leprechaun's nose with the cigarette lighter in the car. Leprechaun runs off to a barn and then... drives his souped up go-kart out of it and crashes into the side of the truck, flipping it over into a ditch.
Yes.
He then goes to check, but everyone is gone. They've hidden and they try to run to the house, but the leprechaun chases them and almost catches them. But they shut the door on his hand, severing his hand, which then animates.
Crawls out like a spider.
Opens the door and then crawls out and reattaches itself to his body.
Yes, yes, yes.
The gang barricades themselves inside, and Tori calls for help on her cell phone right before it dies.
It's on my portable, guys.
it's like a red, like old flip phone, like the size of a brick.
Yes.
We see the sheriff calling a deputy to go check out the O'Grady farm after Tori's phone call. But, you know, it's not like shot of the sheriff, shot of the deputy talking. It's just the sheriff until the very end.
I also want to point out that earlier Ozzy tries to call, and there he's like, send the army, send the navy, send everybody, the leprechaun is attacking.
And then they're like, it was just Ozzy talking about a leprechaun attacking. It's like, what was it last week, Bigfoot?
Yeah, aliens, Bigfoot, I don't remember.
And then at the end of the call, we see why it's only been shots of the sheriff, because the deputy is dead in the passenger seat and the leprechaun's the one on the radio.
Oh.
Back at the house, Tori still isn't convinced that it's a leprechaun.
I know.
Until Ozzy mentions the gold, and then she kind of thinks it might be a leprechaun. Tori goes out to the well to retrieve the gold just for the leprechaun to show up and take the gold and start counting it on the ground. Tori goes back inside so they can get everyone to the hospital. Outside, the leprechaun's counting his gold, but realizes it's only 99. They took me coin!
Me coin. Did you hate it when someone takes your coin, Jay? I hate
when someone takes me coin. Alex goes to get some ice for like Ozzy's ear.
My ear.
But Leprechaun just jumps out of the fridge and tackles him. They then kind of chase the Leprechaun into somewhere else in the kitchen, and he runs into a cabinet and then keeps popping out of different cabinets as they're opening the doors. And he's like, oh, should have checked door number three.
Should have chose door number two, boy.
And then pops out of a drawer. His hand pops out of a drawer and grabs Nathan's dick and twists it.
Ooh. Not the old dick twist.
They chase Leprechaun around the house, and he comes down the chimney at one point with a ho 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 as Nathan shoots him, but the Leprechaun just hops up again and runs off. And
He's at 99% power now, Jay. He's way more powerful.
And rides around on a skateboard for a bit.
Yes.
And then they can't find him again, and they're like, I think he's in the basement, and then he bursts out from underneath the floorboards.
Yes.
And then at one point, the phone starts ringing. The phone that they knew was dead starts ringing. Tori goes to answer it, and...
You got me coin, bitch.
And Leprechaun's on the other end, and then his hand emerges from the receiver a la Fred Krueger, Mom. Mm-hmm. Freddy Krueger style.
Yes.
But instead of his tongue, it's little just hand. His little hand.
Little monster hand.
My coin!
I also like the phone ringing again after it's been ripped off the wall.
Yeah, it rings again. Ozzy then says the reason he's looking for the coin still is that he swallowed the last coin and is going to give himself up. But then they realize they need to go see Mr. O'Grady instead and see if he has any ideas how to stop the leprechaun.
Because as soon as he figures that out, he jumps up. I think he's on Nathan at that point. He jumps up off Nathan. And he's like, then what I need is your belly.
Nathan and Ozzy throw a bunch of shoes so Tori can escape to find Mr. O'Grady.
He's got to start polishing these things.
At one point, while Tori is fleeing in the family Jeep, the leprechaun teleports behind the Jeep on little roller skates.
He's at 99% power now. He can do that, Jay.
But she takes a sharp turn, and he skates into a fence, leaving an outline of his body Looney Tunes style. I literally wrote Looney Tunes style.
And then he steps back out through it like, oh.
And then skates off again. Tori arrives at the Chillview Center, which is the name of the retirement home.
Chillview.
I just loved that it was Chillview.
Yep.
Finds Mr. O'Grady's room. We also get a sight gag where she sees the shadow. It looks like the leprechaun.
Mm-hmm.
And then she rounds the corner, and it's just like a bunch of like a mop and some gloves.
That's pretty good.
Doesn't look a thing like the leprechaun. She gets to Mr. O'Grady's room. And at first, like, Mr. O'Grady's talking to her like, ah, yes, I know how to defeat the leprechaun, but I won't tell you.
Only one way to kill a leprechaun, but I'll never tell.
And she spins it around, and it's the leprechaun wearing Mr. O'Grady's clothes.
Yes.
But and sitting in Mr. O'Grady's wheelchair, but has like, but you know, it's the leprechaun. She then runs off, and the leprechaun chases her in the wheelchair through the hospital.
Such a great way. The wire rig they used for that was insane, by the way.
And then she's able to like get into the classic, like gets to the elevator, and she's hitting the button and is eventually able to get inside, and door closes, and then Mr. O'Grady's corpse falls through the ceiling, and he's still barely alive, and he tells her the only way to kill the leprechaun is with a freshly picked four-leaf clover.
Well, and he's like, that if you put it on his body, then you can kill him, which is an important note we need to note. Just giving him the four-leaf clover is not going to kill him.
Yep. Tori arrives back at the farm as Leprechaun is still following her in the wheelchair.
Yes, as you do.
Tori starts looking for the clover, but the leprechaun chases her.
Little girls shouldn't look for four-leaf
clovers. To the cop car with the dead deputy still inside. Tori stabs the leprechaun in the eye with a nightstick, and leprechaun goes, "I'll just take one of his," and goes to the corpse, rips out the dude's eye, and then replaces his own gouged out eye with the officer's.
While, of course, saying, "An eye for an eye."
Ozzy and Nathan show up and shoot the leprechaun again, and Tori tells them about the clover. They then go looking while Alex is setting traps for the leprechaun at the house. But little does he know, Leprechaun is already there.
He's just watching him.
Eventually, Tori's like, you know, they're not able to find a four-leaf clover. And Ozzy's like, "Well, you gotta believe." And she like picks up a patch of dirt and she's like, "Fine, Ozzy, I believe. I believe that it's a leprechaun," because she's not believed it's a leprechaun this whole time. And she says that and her palm starts glowing and they find one four-leaf clover.
The magic of the druids, Jay.
Leprechaun reveals that he's caught Alex, and Ozzy shows up and says he has the coin inside his belly, and Leprechaun chases him. And as he's chasing Ozzy, he kicks Nathan in his bad leg on the way out the door. And I think that's detail. My favorite part.
Yes.
Leprechaun catches Ozzy and starts clawing at him at his stomach, and then Alex wraps the clover in chewing gum and shoots it into the leprechaun's mouth with a slingshot, saying, "Fuck you, Lucky Charms."
Of course. You know what? That's what I love about the leprechaun so much, is that he is such a sadistic little bastard. No reason to kick Nathan in his bad leg as he's going out the door, but he just does it.
It's so good. Leprechaun then starts melting and leaking green blood before his magic starts to leave, and he turns into like a leprechaun skeleton that's still kind of animated.
Me God.
And falls into the well. They think everything's fine, but he starts to crawl out again, looking even more goopy and skeletal. And then Nathan runs over, like knocks him in with the butt of the shotgun, pours a bunch of gasoline into the well, and then lights it on fire and it explodes.
Yes.
Some time passes because it's been night the whole time, and now it's suddenly like you see the sun rising, and a bunch of police officers showing up. The well is still on fire, and we hear Leprechaun's voiceover saying, like, he'll not rest till he gets his gold. Credits roll, end of movie. What the hell happened to JD?
He had to stay in the hospital overnight. He's still in the hospital. That was a pretty serious cat bite. It's big and has human-like teeth, Jay. I don't understand.
End of movie.
God, no, this movie wastes no time. There's no long, awkward, boring parts where people are like, "What's happening? What's going on?" You know it's a leprechaun from the very beginning. You get like a 10-minute section of them meeting the characters or whatever, and then bam, you're right into leprechaun shit.
You get leprechaun gets put away and then gets immediately taken back out like 20 minutes later. Yes,
leprechaun is in the leprechaun movie, which is the downfall of so many of these movies, is the bad guy is either not doing what he's supposed to be doing, or he's barely in the movie. Like, you know, Jason on a Boat, a.k.a. Jason Takes Manhattan.
Right. If they had just called it Jason on a Boat, no one would have it. And then they went to Manhattan. If it was the exact same movie, but they just called it Jason on a Boat, and then they wound up in New York City, no one would be disappointed. But it's the fact that they call it Jason Takes Manhattan, and he spends 20 minutes in Manhattan.
Maybe. Yeah. No, you know what? You go to the leprechaun movie to see a leprechaun being a little shit, and you see him being a little shit for the entire movie.
Talking about me gold!
He wants his gold, which is, I think, honestly, the best motivation out of any of these slashers, Jay. Freddy's got his weird sadistic sex bullshit.
Fred Krueger, Mom.
I mean, Jason's got, "Oh, I drowned in a lake forever ago."
Michael's got something.
I mean, depending on which iteration of Michael we're talking about, he's either an unstoppable thorn-cursed demon, or a kid who is sad, I guess. or
both.
Or a weird guy who hangs out in the sewers.
Yep, eating rats or something.
But the leprechaun, he wants his gold, Jay. That's what he wants.
He wants me gold! I want me gold!
He wants his gold. He wants his coin. He wants you to fuck off.
Anything else, or are you ready to dive into categories?
I think we might as well get into our categories.
All right, where do you want to start? Jeff, where would you like to start?
Let's see. My category is three. Let's see sets of costumes.
All right.
We need a
wearing theme. Green.
Wearing green. There you go. All right, there you go.
Sets, costumes, etc. Great gore and some actually like pretty effective jump scares.
Yes. That's what I want to, like, it has a comedic tone to it, but it is not so comedic that it's not, like, scary. It's still a horror movie.
And great comedy. Like, yes. some real funny gags, some real funny lines, like.
It's so rare that a horror comedy actually lands. I mean, we've had a couple.
We've had a couple.
We've watched so many, but it's rare.
It is rare.
I'd say probably for every 10 movies that attempt it, maybe one does it good.
I will say, I loved all like the Dutch tilts that were used in this movie, especially like in the nursing home, like when Tori's like running through the halls, like you can like eat, like you just like the camera's like Dutch tilted to one side, yes, or the other. Loved it.
The dolly shots while the leprechaun is running around or while he's riding his various contraptions, all great. Leprechaun costume and prosthetic, I love it. It's going to become iconic, yeah, obviously. Everybody loved it.
I love the leprechaun's design. Jeff, there's got to be someone out there who saw, you know, their older brother or sister rented Leprechaun and they were babysitting and like they watched it like under a blanket. There's got to be someone who's like our age who is genuinely terrified of the Leprechaun movie.
If I had seen this as a young kid, I can almost guarantee you I would have been afraid of the Leprechaun.
Because I'm like watching it and I'm like, oh, this is a blast. This is so funny. And then I'm like, I bet there's someone about our age who saw this as a kid and is just fucking terrified of the leprechaun.
I mean, it's because you got to think, too, part of the plot of the movie is no one believes it's the leprechaun or whatever. The adults all think you're stupid, crazy, whatever. And it's like, that's the worst thing as a kid is to know there's a monster and then no adults believe you.
St. Patrick's Day spirit. Do you got anything else, I guess, first?
I mean, just shout out. I thought they did a good job of making it not look like California, which a lot of movies fail to do. I didn't get the
Halloween.
Yeah, we've talked about that quite a bit.
Those famous Illinois mountains, yes, and green trees.
Yes, Jay. Everybody knows the Illinois mountains and the green trees in October. But yeah, they do a decent job of making it not seem like, you know, it's on the back lot in California. And I like the house design. I thought the sets they built for the house were pretty good. The creepy basement scene looks like something straight out of like Tales from the Crypt or something like that.
I can't believe Tori's dad potentially bought this house sight unseen.
Yes.
Well, and then did nothing to like get it ready. Just went, oh, this is where we're going to be living this summer.
Got a great deal and he brought his daughter out to help him clean it out over the summer, Jay. It's a great deal.
It's a great deal.
That is like the justification for 99% of like haunted house movies. This is a steal, Jay. It's the only house we can afford.
Don't mind the leprechaun in the basement. Just don't mess with the clover and everything will be fine. You'll occasionally hear someone banging on about me gold this and me coin that. But just
don't let him out of the crate.
Don't let him out of the crate.
But yeah, no, the costumes I thought were great. Especially, I really like the effects that they do. Like, especially the nasty leg wound that Nathan gets. They did a really good job making that look disgusting.
No, that looks great.
The dad's hand bite, that looks really good.
When Ozzy gets paint dumped on him,
yes,
he cleans the paint off his head and, like, out of his hair and off of his skin. But his shirt is still covered, yes, in blue paint the rest of the movie.
Yes, which I think they very easily could have missed that detail. But no, clearly the people who worked on this, especially the effects team, actually cared about doing a good job. So, I mean, even the effects, like the wire rig that they did for the wheelchair chase down the hallway was insane. They had a whole set of pulleys set up so it could make it look like he was going fast, because obviously they're not going to be using CGI. Yeah. They had, I mean, the hand crawling under the door puppetry looked really good.
That looked great.
And just lots of great effects. And the car crash effect of when he flips the car with his little pitchfork on the front of his car.
I loved that so much.
The way that the truck gets destroyed, I thought was great. It's very clear that they just like hit it with a wrecking ball or something.
No, it was clearly his go-kart. His
magic go-kart, obviously.
Let's do St. Patrick's Day riddles. So the quotes, I guess. Your favorite quotes.
Have I got some quotes for you, Jay?
Me gold, me coin.
Help, help, it's happening. The attack is on O'Grady Farm. Send help, the leprechaun is attacking. Army, Navy, guns, Marines, and we're gonna need some medicine. Ozzy talking to the sheriff's department on the phone.
You're a drunken fool and a storyteller. That's Mrs. O'Grady.
Burn in hell, you little green bastard.
I had that one too.
Mr. O'Grady, trying to light the house on fire.
Someone's like, I don't know if it's Tori's dad or if it's Nathan, but they're like, oh, gonna slap some paint around, fix the place up. And then Tori goes, need to slap some bulldozers around to fix this place up.
I like that one. Is that me, Gold? What the hell are you? I'm a leprechaun, me dear. Ozzy was right. I like that.
That. Ozzy, that's him. He's going to kill every one of us, and I'm first.
When the leprechaun first appears outside the house and gets Nathan stuck in the bear trap and everything, Tori's like, Nathan, that was no fucking bear.
Speaking of people thinking things are other things, I know what it feels like when a man's caressing my leg. You do?
Leprechaun gets his hand burned to the stove. All he does is use a spatula to pry it off.
I forgot about that.
We're cooking now, kids.
Ozzy, it's me you want, you green son of a bitch. And Alex, fuck you, Lucky Charms.
Ah, me powers are returning. It sounds like me gold. It looks like me gold. It smells like me gold. Tastes like me gold.
me golden delicious gold.
Yeah. Oh my god.
This old lap, he played one. He played pogo on his lung as he's jumping up and down on Joe's body on the pogo stick.
Ripping out the dead officer's eye and replacing his own. An eye for an eye, me dear.
Little girl shouldn't look for four-leaf clovers.
You only got away because me powders are weak. I need me gold.
He needs me gold.
He needs his gold. How do people not understand this? And he was robbed.
Yep. He was robbed of me gold.
Robbed. Forced to give over his gold. Unjustly.
I'm trying to think.
I'll do the one from the beginning again just because I love it so much. Ah, try as they will and try as they might, who steals me gold won't live through the night.
Oh, it was, what a movie.
Yes, it goes uphill from here. That's the best part about the Leprechaun franchises. Up until the last couple ones that were like, modern remakes, they're never as good. But no, that original 5-movie run, so solid.
St. Patrick's Day spirit. How St. Patrick's-y is the movie? How St. Patrick's-y are the kills?
I mean, he's doing all kinds of pranks as kills. That's St. Patrick's-y. I mean, we got the leprechaun himself, the four-leaf clover.
I'm surprised he didn't pinch anybody. But also, it's not expressly St. Patrick's Day in the movie. They never once say it's St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. But for a movie that's not expressly St. Patrick's Day, this has all the things you think. There's a reason this is a St. Patrick's Day movie.
Yes. No, it's got all the things. Everything you want to see in a St. Patrick's Day movie.
Kills. It's a fucking killer leprechaun. This blows Maniac Cop 1 out of the water. For St. Patrick's Dayness.
Oh my god.
And then Maniac Cop 2, which is a Christmas movie. And Maniac Cop 3, which is no holiday, but does have the greatest chase scene in movie history.
It's true. Yes. We should point that out one more time for people who haven't seen those episodes. Maniac Cop 1 takes place on St. Patrick's Day. Maniac Cop 2 is one day later and takes place on Christmas.
Yep.
I just want to point that out again for everybody.
That's my favorite thing. Everyone knows right after St. Patrick's Day, it's Christmas.
Speaking of Maniac Cop, by the way, thoughts out to Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, real sad news. Hopefully can keep keeping on as long as he can. Like it fucking sucks. It really does. If anyone can do it, it's Bruce. Let's just say that.
It's true.
All right, Jeff. Let's do our regular old clover, one thing you want to fix, and our four-leaf clover, one thing you want to praise.
one thing I want to fix. It's hard because Leprechaun is so great.
It's a near perfect film.
Honestly, the only thing I would want would be maybe make it a little bit longer and restore the Irish intro that I've heard legends of. There, every time anybody talks about this movie, they always talk about the parts that were cut out. And I think, honestly, the Irish, there's like a 10-minute intro that takes place in Ireland, explaining a little bit of the Leprechaun backstory and how the gold magic and stuff works, which I think they explain in later movies when they have more time. But I think, honestly, from the descriptions of it, it would have been cool to see. But, I mean, the movie works perfectly the way it is.
For me, it was a little slow in, like, the middle beginning.
Yeah, when you have to have the scenes where she comes to the farm and she meets the characters or
like,
whatever.
I would say even, like, Leprechaun gets let out, and it's, like, pretty much, like, up until they leave to take JD yes. to the hospital.
When the leg stroking slash cat biting happens, yep. that's when the movie really picks back up. Kicks into high gear at that point, never stopped.
Praise.
Honestly, I mean, we're going to be doing all of these movies eventually, but I'll just do it for this one because this was the original. Warwick Davis, so great. Does not get nearly enough credit. I mean, people talk about him usually as, hey, it's the guy from Willow, or it's the guy from Star Wars. He should be the guy from Leprechaun. This is his role. He made it his own. He improvised almost all the insults and rhymes and things on set. Does a great physical performance. Makes him a believable threat.
It feels so... Like, his role in particular, I put the exact same thing, Warwick Davis, he's fucking having the time of his life. Like, you can just tell he's having a blast.
Actively enjoys
this role. And I suspected that, like you said, he, like, a lot of this stuff was just down to, like, Warwick Davis just fucking, chewing the scenery, just fucking, like, using every bit that he can to, like, just put on the funniest performance possible. It feels like one of those things that, like, a writer or director, like, might have an idea to, like, oh, we're going to have you do this, we're going to have you do that, but it's down to the actor to sell it, and Warwick Davis sells this shit.
Yes, it's...
He's just a delight.
This movie would not work without him. I can't think of anybody who'd be able to go into this role.
No, and it shows when, for the last two, he's not in them.
Yes. I don't even count those as official Leprechaun movies, but we'll get into that later.
we'll get into that in years. Yes. Final rating. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate our movie on one of three categories. But because it's St. Patrick's Day, we're going to change up the names. I don't know what to call them yet.
Let's see. Well, we got to have some. We got to do some puns because we always do the puns. So let's see what would make it good. Is it a pot of gold?
Okay.
Obviously, that's the best one.
All right.
Let's see.
Is it green beer? Or is it...
Okay, we could make ho-ho hilarious, like, wearing green and then bad getting pinched.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, are you getting pinched? Are you wearing green? Or did you find the pot of gold?
Oh, you know what I'm going to say, Jay. I've been evangelizing this movie to everybody I've met for decades at this point. I found me gold, Jay. I found the gold at the end of the rainbow. It's Leprechaun. It's Warwick Davis. I cannot recommend this movie enough, and I cannot recommend enough following it through to the end, at least to the end of the Warwick Davis run in this franchise, because if you like this movie, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, he still has Space and the Hood and
Back to the Hood. He was so unfazed by the Hood, Jay, that he went back. Not a problem at all. And I just want to point out, not only is Leprechaun in Space a great movie, it's also an amazing Spaceballs-level Star Wars parody wrapped up in there, too.
Wearing green. This movie's so fucking funny. Laughed my ass off the whole time. I even think, like, some of the jump scares are pretty effective, which is nuts.
Yes.
Honestly, I might bump this up to Pot of Gold. Initially I was gonna put this down as Wearing Green, but you're right. This is a fucking Pot of Gold. This movie rules. Like I said, I'd seen this once and probably, like, half paid attention, and I'm sure I was in, like, high school or college, and I was like, horror shouldn't be funny, and like, yeah, and so kind of discounted this movie. No, this movie fucking rules. Like, this is great. Like, I had the time of my life.
Yes.
And I owe it all to Warwick Davis.
Indeed. Not, like I said, does not get nearly enough credit for this franchise. And honestly, I think it's just because people never watch it. It's just, he's like a forgotten slasher almost. Nobody talks about Leprechaun ever.
Like I said, he's like, because he's in his own cat, he's the weird little guy who's also a slasher. And it we've got Chucky. No, it's the same thing. People don't talk about Rumpelstiltskin. People don't really talk about Jack Frost. It's Chucky, and he kind of gets to be the only weird little guy who's also a slasher.
Yes.
Well, Jeff. My head really hurts. I got one of those post St. Patrick's Day hangovers.
Oh, no.
Gotta here. Let's dim the lights a little bit.
You got a hangover, Jay?
There.
That's better. That's better.
Let's do some reviews for people who are uncultured swine.
I mean, honestly, this has a fucking 35% from audiences on Rotten Tomatoes.
Peacock does that little thing where it shows you like the tomato score. And I'm like, how is this green? Like, how is this the green tipped over popcorn bucket? Like, what the fuck?
People just, they don't know. Nobody knows, Jay.
2 out of 10. Not much happens in this movie.
Are you fucking kidding?
Literally, the entire film is self-contained. Everything happens.
Literally, this is an entire story from start to finish. And other than about a 15 to 20 minute section near the beginning, shit does nothing but happen in this movie.
I love bad horror movies. On the whole genre is unspeakably bad. Horror films is typically funnier than movies that try to be funny, such as You've Got Mail. Take that, You've Got Mail.
What the fuck?
But this movie, the you know, Jeff, I granted I don't have the date they wrote this, but you know, the cultural touchstone that is You've Got Mail.
Yes.
But this movie is so bad, so shamefully poorly constructed, which once again, everything's laid out in the movie. I was not laughing. I was just bored the whole time. Well, not the whole time. At the end, when the leprechaun climbs up out of the well with his face peeling off and screams for the last time, I want me gone. I was laughing. And it was kind of funny when he summons his bag of coins from Jennifer Aniston's hand, and you can see the string guiding it over to him. Those are good moments. That's why I gave this film a 2 instead of a 1. Any film that is so bad it doesn't even get unintentional laugh points, except for 2, has got to have an overwhelming amount of flaws. And this movie does. So everything works out.
What the... Did he watch the same movie?
I don't know.
Did he accidentally watch Origins instead?
Well, no, because he knows Jennifer Aniston apparently had his funny bone surgically removed as a child.
I don't know how. Even if you didn't like this movie, saying that they didn't have funny moments is fucking insane.
I that aside, I like bad horror movies, so I watched Leprechaun. I wouldn't consider this a bad horror movie.
No, I mean, not unless you consider do you consider Chucky a bad horror movie?
Right. Like, I would get if you were saying this about Jack Frost, that the much lower budget, you know, everything around that movie. But no, this is there's nothing bad about this.
I don't, like I said, I think it honestly goes back to these people just must not have seen very many movies. That's all I can think.
That's all I ever think now. So whenever I see people reviewing stuff and they're like, this is the XYZ, like a movie that you and I were like, oh, that was fun, or even that was good. Yeah. And they're like, this is the worst film I've ever seen. I'm like, you clearly haven't seen a lot of movies then.
Yeah. Yeah. We've seen things doing this show. I mean, I thought I'd seen some bad movies before, but then we started doing this.
Yeah, it's I'm right there with you, buddy. I feel the exact same way.
Every time we think we can't possibly find another sub-basement of badness, it happens.
Literally, there are worse movies in this franchise. There are legitimately bad movies in this franchise. This is not one of them.
There's definitely a couple bad movies in this franchise, for sure. If you told me a horror movie about a killer leprechaun could work, I'd say maybe. Maybe if it leaned into the creepy folklore. Instead, Leprechaun feels like someone dropped some Irish mythology into a blender with terrible jokes, cheap-looking special effects, and even though it features a pogo stick murder scene, it manages to be both ridiculous and boring at the same time. This movie can't decide if it wants to be scary or funny. The result is a total disaster where nothing works. The only frightening thing here is realizing that somehow this movie became a franchise. One star, but I'd make it zero if I could.
Boo. Go fuck yourself. Hey, wait, that's our line.
What the fuck? Bad effects?
These are excellent effects.
I was
going
to say, these are great effects. I don't know what people are talking about. I've seen that comment pop up again and again. Cheap looking effects, bad effects. I'm like, clearly you haven't seen very many bad effects then if you think these are bad effects.
Yeah, you haven't seen Craft Fair Massacre.
There's some effects that are worse in the movie we're going to talk about on Stocking Stuffer after this, Jay. I'm sure you probably think of a couple of the effects I'm talking about.
1 out of 10. One of the worst movies I have ever seen. Once again, you probably haven't seen very many movies.
You've seen two movies, apparently.
When I rented this movie, I thought I was in for a classic and memorable horror experience. You were.
You have that.
I mean, everybody's heard of this movie, right? So it would have to be sort of good. Wrong. This movie was so bad, it wasn't even laughably bad.
Which, again, no. Like I said, even if you don't like this movie, there are so many things in this that are funny. Even if you just say, oh, it's a bad horror movie and it's funny.
When it was supposed to be scary, it wasn't. When it was supposed to be funny, it wasn't. The whole movie is pretty much just a sight gag. Ha ha, look at the midget run.
It's not that at all.
It's not. With some sort of poor excuse for a plot. Oompa Loompas are funnier and scarier. Also, it has one of those feel-good endings that really makes me hate 90s horror. This movie failed miserably. Literally, the leprechaun's still alive in the well, saying he'll be back for me gold.
Yes. Literally, unkillable, and they set it up as a franchise in the first one. They don't have to do any Halloween 2-style bullshit to make this a franchise. Yep. They never once draw attention to the fact that the leprechaun is small, I will point out. They treat him once they figure out what they're dealing with, they treat him as a real threat the entire time.
Yep.
It's never a joke. So I really don't get that part.
Yeah, I don't know what they were saying. I honestly think that person's own like biases are poking through. Like,
yeah, I think that's more reflective of the reviewer than the movie.
Yep. All right.
Which we find that often in these reviews. Some horror movies are so bad they're entertaining. Leprechaun is not one of them. It's as if someone watched... first of all, it's as if... Get your head out of your ass, please. It's as if someone watched A Nightmare on Elm Street and thought, what if Freddy Krueger was smaller and Irish? What? And also constantly rhymes like a cereal mascot. Okay, the Lucky Charms leprechaun does not rhyme.
If you had said constantly rhymes like Etrigan the Demon, sure, yeah, why not?
And also, leprechaun is not like Freddy Krueger. He does not even do the same style of humor. The film looks cheap, even by early 90s horror standards. Wrong. We've seen Pumpkinhead, too. Don't tell us what looks cheap by early 90s.
I mean, Jeff, apparently we're very wrong. Most of the internet thinks Pumpkinhead 2 is better than Pumpkinhead 1, apparently.
Jesus. Well, these are also the same people who say that John Carpenter is a bad director.
Yeah, you're so right.
Can't take anything seriously. The acting ranges from confused to embarrassed. Yeah, the acting is not, like, top tier. I mean, Warwick Davis's is.
Yep.
I mean, honestly, and Jennifer Aniston and Nathan and, honestly, Ozzy and the kid do a fine job, too.
Yeah.
Honestly, one of the least annoying child actors from the 90s.
There's no bad acting in this. Like, it's all passable to good.
The script feels like it was written during a long lunch break. Well, that was a productive lunch break, because it was a pretty good script, I would say, for a lunch break script. Watching it feels less like experiencing a movie and more like stumbling across a cursed VHS tape that should have remained buried in the bargain bin.
Got zinged.
We got a fuck. Oh yeah, because you know, if this is who we're going to for comedy, yeah, I could see why you wouldn't think this movie is funny. It's probably over your head.
1 out of 10. Ugh. If you rent this clunker, that tells you how old this review is, because they're renting a movie. If you rent this clunker, your luck just ran out. This movie was stunningly poor. Stunningly poor. I am at a loss to explain how anyone could justify one sequel, much less three. Oh, buddy, I got some news for you.
He was going to say, three?
Hell, I can't figure out how this damned movie even managed to get distributed in the first place, despite the Jennifer Aniston factor, which is really no factor. Her feeble powers are completely overwhelmed by this amateurish nightmare of a film.
I also want to point out that she was a nobody when this movie was made, by the way.
This is her third credit or something?
This is not like a star power thing for her.
The story is dull, the dialogue is flat, and the decrepit little villain is evil in the most unimaginative, unmagical ways.
Are you fucking kidding me?
It's hard to believe anyone could write such a boring, labored script. If you're looking for a pot of gold at your local Blockbuster, once again, shows you how old this review is, don't bother searching for it in a plastic case marked Leprechaun. All you'll find there is a tepid cauldron of algae-coated swamp water. 14 people found that helpful, but 24 people disliked it or whatever.
Good, good. I'm glad.
Should be more, by the way. That review was by Mr. Zebra back in 1999. I clicked over and saw that part.
That's rough. That's rough. I can't believe this movie exists. A killer
Me
leprechaun.
Me neither. It's great.
Fine. But the movie somehow manages to make that boring. The monster rhymes like a drunk Dr. Seuss character. No. And the plot makes no sense. The plot could not be any more fucking straightforward if they tried. I want me gold.
He wants his gold.
He wants his fucking gold. How complicated is
and
that?
And when he gets his gold and realizes that all 100 pieces aren't there, he needs me coin.
Yes, that's literally, he wants his gold back. That's the plot. If you can't understand that, then maybe stop watching movies.
Go read a book. Oh, no. Books are good, too. I don't know. Go watch TikTok.
And the kills are about as scary as a spirit Halloween effect.
That didn't come through very well.
Again, what the fuck are you talking about? It has good kills, and it has good effects.
And we've seen spirit Halloween effects in movies. They look terrible.
I spent the entire runtime wondering how this movie got made and why no one stopped it. If the leprechaun really cares about his gold, he should have used it to refund everyone who watched this movie. First of all, that makes no sense. He would not give away his fucking gold.
He wants his gold. Why would he give it away?
And second of all, obviously you understand the plot because you just said what the fucking plot is. He wants his gold.
He wants me gold.
God. Jay, if you tell somebody you want me gold, and you keep telling them, and they don't believe you, is that your fault, or is that their fault?
And that's the thing. The first time, it's your fault. Every subsequent time, it's their fault. All right, I think this is my... Oh, no, I got two left. This one's short. 1 out of 10. Wow, that was bad. I can summarize the film in one word. Bad. Or two words. Very bad. Bad acting, bad story, bad dialogue, bad effects, bad film. Everything happens by chance. What?
No, it doesn't.
And nothing is justified. This has no entertainment value whatsoever.
Stop, Jay. You justify this fucking leprechaun movie to me. Justify it.
You justify its existence. Well, I don't know.
And nothing happens by accident. The leprechaun literally tricks him into opening the crate.
Yep. And tricks Mrs. O'Grady to opening the suitcase.
Yes.
This has no entertainment whatsoever. It's hard to believe it spawned several sequels. The writer-director has some ideas, but didn't know how to gel them together to make any sense.
This could not be a more simple movie. How does this not make sense?
Jeff, these are the same people who, did John Carpenter killed Michael in Halloween 2. Halloween 3 comes out because Michael and Loomis are dead, and then they went, where the fuck are Michael and Loomis?
That's true, Jay. That is very true. You know what? This is why we can't have good movies from the Hollywood studio system. Because people like this go to fucking test screenings, and then they have to dumb the movie down so much and make it so predictable that it's not fun anymore.
No, it, yes, absolutely.
I can't understand this plot. What does the leprechaun want? What is his motivation, Jay?
We've got to have a cold open scare at the beginning of every single one of these horror movies. That way people will know it's a horror movie.
Indeed, indeed. How else would they figure it out, yep, Jay?
And then I got one left.
All right, well, here we go. Leprechaun is the perfect example of how not to build a horror villain.
Got him!
Instead of creating tension, mystery, or atmosphere, the film relies on childish rhymes and cartoon logic. The character isn't scary at all, just loud and annoying. This feels like a rejected sitcom episode that was stretched into 90 minutes. Even the folklore elements are wasted.
Yeah, you know those horror sitcoms.
Jennifer Aniston deserve better than this.
This is literally like her third role.
Yes, literally before she was even famous.
What do you got any more?
This is a short one. This movie feels like it was made for $12 and a bag of chocolate coins. Script is bad, effects are worse, tone is completely confused. Apparently these people have never seen a horror comedy before. The only person trying is Warwick Davis. You feel bad for him. Nothing could save this movie.
I will say, I think there are people out there who don't understand that, like, don't understand the idea of horror comedies.
It's, honestly, dark comedy and black comedy, I think, is lost on American audiences.
I got one last one. 1 out of 10. And I think this one's weird. I believe it is tongue in cheek. But The Legend of the Friendly Sweet Leprechaun. Leprechauns are sweet little guys of Irish myth who love to bring presents and joy to everyone. They're so nice, they'll probably rip out your eye and show them to some girl. Leprechauns are so nice, especially when you steal their gold and stick it up your butt and go, ah, look at me, I have a gold enema. Wowie, that literally does not happen. The first thing happened in this movie, no one shoved gold up their butt.
No.
Anyways, the sweet leprechaun, very accurately portrayed with startling realism by Warwick Davis, enchants a family with his good looks and wonderful charm by grabbing their genitals and threatening to kill them. Then he shows his lovely charm and Irish charm by killing people, then some more people. It's a wonderful ride for the whole family. Don't miss it. I agree. It is a wonderful ride for the whole family.
First of all, leprechauns are not nice in Irish mythology. They can be if you follow the rules, but it's explicitly stated that if you try to steal a leprechaun's gold, they turn into a monster, essentially.
They want me gold!
I mean, the four-leaf clover, the shoe-polishing thing, that's all taken straight out of Irish folklore about the creature.
I loved the shoe-polishing. I think that was my favorite thing included in the movie.
Yes.
They're like, we gotta distract him! Throw some shoes!
But no, that's not funny, Jay. That's not funny at all. All right, I got a whopper of one to finish us off here. There are films that are bad because they fail while attempting something ambitious. There are films that are bad because they're incompetent. And then there are films like Leprechaun, which seem to exist in a strange third category. A movie that feels like it was assembled from several incompatible ideas, none of which were particularly good to begin with. Hard disagree. Murderous Leprechaun, good idea.
Yeah, great idea.
The premise alone suggests the problem. Someone somewhere in Hollywood apparently decided that the next great horror villain should be a leprechaun.
And they were right.
The small green imp who spends most of the time in the movie delivering rhyming couplets while searching for his missing gold. The result is less than a horror movie and not quite a comedy. It's more of something that resembles a haunted house attraction that's been stretched to 90 minutes. The film was written and directed by Mark Jones, who seems unsure from scene to scene what tone he wants the film to inhabit. I don't feel that at all.
Also, once again, horror comedy. There are more horror comedies than just this one.
It feels, that's the thing, is like the tone feels pretty consistent. The leprechaun does funny things, but he's still a serious threat. He still hurts people.
Yep.
I mean, it's not that hard to understand. The plot is pretty much inconceivable and impossible to follow. How can you not follow this plot, Jay?
I don't.
He wants his fucking gold back.
He wants me gold.
The monster is played by Warwick Davis, an actor who has proven in other films that he possesses considerable charisma and physical talent. Here he's buried beneath prosthetic makeup and forced to perform dialogue that seems to have been written by someone who believes rhyming automatically equals humor. Well, obviously he didn't look too far into the movie because those were lines that Warwick Davis made up himself.
And also, like, doesn't rhyme the whole time.
Not even close to the whole time. In fact, I think he only rhymes like 5 or 6 times. He doesn't rhyme that often.
Yeah, it's not like slow down there, Etrigan the Demon.
Yes, he's got lots of funny lines, but they're not all rhyming lines. He gamely tries to give the character personality and occasionally succeeds for a moment or two, but ultimately he's fighting a losing battle against this unwinnable proposition. One of the oddest aspects of Leprechaun is its complete inability to decide what it wants to be. The film's violence is simply too silly to be frightening, but too mean-spirited to be funny. At one point, the creature kills a man using a pogo stick, a moment that sounds amusing but when described, but in practice unfolds with dull inevitability of a joke told too many times.
Disagree. He played pogo on his lung.
Exactly. By the time the closing credits roll, the audience is left with a peculiar question. How did a horror movie about a murderous leprechaun manage to be so dull? 1 star.
Dull is far from what I would describe.
I was gonna say, of all the things you could describe this movie as, dull would be the last thing I would probably describe this movie as.
Well, Jeff, when you're I don't know when you're going out drinking for St. Patrick's Day, sometimes you want to make sure that, you know, there's enough room for you in the club.
It's true.
Is Leprechaun getting on the list?
Oh, he's getting on the list, Jeff.
And he's getting on. I mean, he gets on above Cordell.
Oh, easily. I mean, and let's just put it this way. That maniac cop would be searching probably for one or both of his eyes by the time he's done with the leprechaun.
Like, leprechaun has reality-bending magic. Yes. Cordell's a zombie cop.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He's a cool zombie cop.
Who drives a car, yes, while on fire, pushing other cars out of the way with his bare hands.
We like the maniac cop, and he gets a serious upgrade in power level in Maniac Cop 3.
Yep.
But, no, the leprechaun's just, his magic's too strong. And he's basically unkillable.
He is.
So.
Well, all right, Jeff, it's time for this.
Garbage Day!
Huh?
No!
God, so, what's he got?
Jeff, we've spent lots of time this episode talking about funny little guys that are slashers.
It's true. You got a funny little guy over there.
I got you a funny little guy that's a slasher.
Oh, a good guy's doll.
They're
eh?
Good guy's blind boxes.
Oh, boy. He wants you for a best friend. Let him share your secrets. Not creepy at all. That's the thing. One of the things I think that makes Chucky work so well is that the good guy's doll is fucking creepy, even if it wasn't inhabited by a murderer.
You could get a construction worker, a fearless fireman, a cowboy, a soldier, a doctor, or a baseball player.
I'm hoping for a soldier or a doctor, Jay.
Hi, I'm a good guy. Let's play.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, a black bag.
Oh, yes, a trash bag.
Oh, yes, it's listeners, it's the yellow good guy's box.
Yes, the classic. What did I get? God, that thing is creepy as hell.
Oh, my God.
Jesus. Oh, I got the soldier. He's got dog tags, bloody stained. He's got the bloody stained dog tags from Nom. Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. He's definitely a Vietnam vet, Jay. He's got his machete, too, for jungle clearing.
I think I've just got a regular good guy.
He's got a good guy?
I think I just got a regular good guy.
Oh, well. But oh my God, the face is fucking horrifying.
I love it. Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Yeah. Oh, look, he's collected some ears, too, to go with his dog tags.
Oh, hells yeah.
Nice, nice.
Can I get my good guy to stand up?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Not really.
There you go. He's ready to murder. Gonna add some more ears to his collection. Gotta try to angle the legs a little bit forward.
I was gonna snap a little picture of the two of them for the Instagram post.
Hitting it for the gram. the sculpt on that face. Ugh. Ugh. Listeners, check out the Instagram because this thing is horrifying to see.
All right, there's your Vietnam
vet. I also like jaded Vietnam vet Chucky. He's pretty good.
I assume it is all different, because I think there is a bald Chucky in the show.
Oh, okay.
I assume it is all different themed Chuckies around the Chuckies from the show.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. But yeah, the bloody stained dog tags with the necklace of ears is pretty good.
Fucking great. Jeff, these were like $20 a piece and they were well worth it.
Oh my God. No, I'd say they're worth
it. Because I genuinely thought it would just be the images on the side of the box. And I was like, oh, like I had no idea that you would actually get like horror good guys.
The detail is impressive. I got to say that.
Very cool. Good job. NECA
toys.
Oh, okay. So potentially there are other Chuckies from other movies.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Well, I'm going to hold on. Hold on, listener. Hold on, Jeff.
I'm holding.
I'm going to go out to the, I'm going to see if the NECA website has the full Chucky blind bag.
Maybe we should order some more of them. See what we can get. Collect all the good guy accessories.
Okay. Chucky good guy blind box. Oh, this is Child's Play 2/Chucky TV series is what it says.
Okay.
I'm trying to open the NECA website. Okay. So there is My Plain Chucky. There's a Pilgrim Chucky, a Tiffany, a Chucky with a knife, bald Vietnam vet Chucky. There's like a weird sloth love chunk with a shovel Chucky.
Okay.
And then there is Chucky, like the cover of the Child's Play 2 poster.
Okay. Cool. No, not a bad little thing.
Although, like, man, on these boxes it says Series 2. I never got that these were Series 2. Maybe ours aren't Series 2. I don't know.
Hmm. Weird, but cool.
Is there a Series 1? Oh, here we go. Here's ours. Set of 6. So there's the one I got, the one you got. There's like sawed up Chucky. The NECA website's weird. Chucky with a knife and some of his clothes are torn.
Cool.
Bald Chucky. Hannibal Lecter Chucky.
Nice.
Chucky with his jaw ripped off and his tongue's flapping there.
Cool.
Yep, there you go.
Nice. I also want to point out that on the bottom of the box in tiny print, it says parental advisory. A note to parents, Child's Play 2, Child's Play 3, Bride of Chucky, and Seed of Chucky are rated R. There you go. Just for all you parents.
Good to know. Parents, have your kids watch these movies. They're great.
Yes. The sooner the better.
What's the worst that could happen? They'd wind up hosting a podcast? Oh, God. No, that's the worst thing.
In fact, you know what? Once you've shown them the movie, go out and buy them a good guy doll for their birthday or Christmas.
Yep. Great idea. Anyway, that's another episode of Horror for the Holidays in the bag.
Yes. In the bag.
Get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places at Horror for Holidays. Send us an email. Be part of our garbage day segment. We'd love to get some emails. Horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on Leprechaun or I don't know, little guys that are slashers. Yes, little guys that are slashers.
All of our little guys. Let's talk about our little guys.
Yeah, let's talk about little guys.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell to get all of our audio backups. Hit us on all the pod catchers of your choice. I mean, Apple Podcast seems to be the one that 90% of people go to. Leave us 5-star reviews on there. It doesn't matter what the content of the review is. We're only going to read it if it's 5 stars.
We only read 5-star. We say this every episode. Don't know how much plainer to make this. We only read 5-star reviews.
Only 5-star reviews.
4-star review? Uh-uh. 3-star review? Nope. 2-star review? No way in hell. 1-star review? Go fuck yourself.
You could make that a 4.5-star review, and I still wouldn't look at it.
Yep. It could be 4.99 stars. You go fuck yourself.
Yep. Go fuck yourself, listeners.
But unless you're leaving 5-star reviews.
Yes. Well, of course, we're happy to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network. For our St. Patrick's Day movie.
I believe our friends over at, I'm going to double check because I don't want to say the wrong podcast, but I believe it is our friends over at Tis the Soundtrack. Sorry, Can't Wait for Christmas.
Okay.
Was on a recent article, was listed as the number one Christmas music podcast.
Nice, nice.
So, hey,
wait. Shout out to them. Congratulations.
All sorts of good stuff over there. Also, if Ratty's voting is still going on, go out and vote for us.
Yes, vote for us.
We need to be a multi award winning podcast.
We need it.
Right now, we're just a single award winning podcast. We need to be a multi award winning podcast.
As good as it is to be an award winning podcast, to say we're a multi award winning podcast.
You know what? We should bring up more often that we're an award winning podcast.
We probably should. Yeah.
If
you haven't figured it out by now, listeners, we're on year four of the show, and we're not really in this podcast game too well. Our brains don't work too good.
they call us Ozzy. We were the inspiration for Ozzy.
Yes.
Other than that, we'll see you next week for a stocking stuffer, and in 2 weeks, we're not doing another episode. April Fools. Got him.
Roasted.
Got those listeners. Those foolish listeners.
Me goat.
Bye.